Hello and welcome to Wham Bam Tram, and we've got a genuine unicorn in the studio today. The co-founder of GoGoVan, or GoGoX as it is now, Reeve Kwan. We'll be looking at smart new logistics solutions which could transform our city's streets. First, we've got Martin Turner, chairman of the Hong Kong Cycling Alliance, for a quick look at the news. Martin, a very serious story today. How should we report road crashes? You know, sad to say, in the last year for Transit Jam, we've covered 60 fatal traffic accidents. The University of Westminster and its Active Travel Academy have put out some new draft guidelines. They're taking comments on this. Basically, they say we should never say accident, we should use crash or collision, and we should make sure we get driver agency up there in the top of the story. What do you think about that, Martin? You're a part-time editor for Transit Jam. Are we doing it right?
I think this is vital, and yes, we at Transit Jam, we certainly try to get the language right. I remember, I think it was six years ago in New York, the police department, the health department, and another department all signed up to this avoidance of the word accident when describing crashes. So we can do that here too.
Yeah, and actually, transport department and the police here still say there is a car accident. You know, even a fatal collision where a pedestrian has been run down by a truck driver, they still say accident. So perhaps that's something we can work on to change. So, welcome Reeve, the co-founder of GoGoX.
Well, thank you for the invitation, James.
Okay, no problem. And we're very excited to have you here today because you're one of the people that's transformed Hong Kong's transport scene, really.
Yeah, you're very welcome on that. I'm just being the right place at the right time.
Oh, well, yeah. Yes. But you had something of a vision. And I remember back in, you know, before GoGoVan, as it was, trying to book a van and going through lists of numbers.
Yeah. We actually are the user by ourselves. We are trying to deliver lunchboxes to different restaurants, right? So we didn't have our own delivery fleet. So basically, we have to base on those like traditional call center to get us a van. And then, we usually start calling 7 a.m. But unfortunately, we didn't get any answer even until like 10 or 11 a.m. We still got no answer if there's any vans available, so that we can like whenever we need it, we just call them, and then so that people can get access to those drivers to serve them for it.
Now you've kind of, it feels like you've created a market really, because there, I don't know how many vans they were delivering before, but suddenly now the number of vans that respond to an app request is, it seems to be hundreds.
Yeah.
Do you think you've actually sort of increased the number of vans on the road?
I think I look at data from the transportation department. I think number of vans registered for it didn't increase a lot. I think it's few thousand up and down when you compare to 2013. But actually the number of vans that are freelancers, I would say these are not really employed by any of the company. The proportion in between that 70,000 drivers or van registration actually changed a lot. Before we may estimate maybe like 80-20. So now we estimate maybe 50-50. Basically 50% of the vans or the truck actually may be self-employed. Yeah, and that 50% may be owned or employed by a company.
Do you think it's better for the drivers these days?
I think so, because I think a lot of people want to like utilize their own time and more do the orders more freely, right? So instead of like really doing a 9-to-6 job or like basically employment told you what to do, they have the liberty to control what they want to do and what kind of orders they want to do, and also the time as well.
Yeah. If we go to any part of Hong Kong, we can see the deliveries, you know, not blaming vans, but vans and trucks are everywhere and they're double parked, and there's not really a good solution for them. I mean, what do you think about some of these European cities which are increasing the use of cargo bikes in the center of the town? Is that something that we should be doing in Hong Kong?
We're actually trying to do. So that's why since like 2 years ago, we launched the GoGo Delivery, which is enable not just van or truck driver to do the deliveries, also for the, let's say what we call courier. So without any transportation mode or some people are riding bicycle or using the bikes to do delivery.
Okay.
So basically we enlarge another group of, I would say, demand and supply. to logistics space.
Okay, so how does that work? Is it more like if I want something moved from A to B, then I can choose a bicycle or I can choose a van, or is it that it will be assigned the quickest way from your end?
So from our app, right, basically you can choose like you want a transportation mode or you want to do a door-to-door delivery services, right? So for transportation, I'm sure I will get a van or a truck for you to choose, right? And then for the delivery, basically you need to just choose your time frame. So basically you want to choose to, I want to deliver right now, or I want to deliver within 4 hours, or even it's not urgent at all. I just want someone to get delivered by the end of the day.
Yeah.
For the Google delivery, we are delivering very wide range of the item. So as small as like maybe a pen or a passport or the document, or as large as maybe a box of cosmetic goods or anything. Yeah.
But a lot in London we see cargo bikes. You know, people are saying you can't carry a fridge on a bike, and then you see a cargo bike with a fridge.
Yeah.
You know, do you think we'll ever see that in Hong Kong? How will we get there?
For that, I don't think so, because one of the things is the urban planning in Hong Kong is not really that kind of like cargo bike friendly. Just look at the road design in Hong Kong, right? Basically, it's hard for even for motorbike to in Hong Kong. It's more kind of the perception is more dangerous than driving a car, because there is no really planning on fitting a bike or motorcycle in the Hong Kong road. I think same as that. Okay. So I think a lot of planning on the urban planning in Hong Kong or city planning didn't really include that part. So it's quite challenging for Hong Kong to deliver that model. Yeah.
Is it too late for Hong Kong, or could we address that now?
For the new area planning, I think people can still plan for it. But I think in the existing like city area, it's quite challenging for that.
Yeah. Would you consider for the GoGo X app that I could choose a panel truck or a van or a cargo bike?
Maybe in the Google delivery, we may able to do that. But it really depends on how the government move forward with this kind of topic.
Okay. I've put forward things like green loading zones in Queen's Road Central, which they're not really keen on. But it seems to me if there was an economic incentive for companies to not use a van, then this would help.
I think that's one thing, right, when you are talking about that. So so that's why when we are introducing the Google delivery, why we put the courier, so that we don't need, so as a layman or you don't have any tools, right, but you can still do the delivery. Basically, you use your hand or you can get a cart to carry. So we actually was trying really to promote that in Hong Kong, see if that works, right? So by that means, doesn't really need to limit to those people have a car or have a vehicle to do like delivery.
Yeah.
But actually, as a layman, as a courier, you can do whatever orders you want.
Do you have demand for couriers at the moment?
Quite a lot. I think the good thing is about us is we are not, so you know Foodpanda, because you have obviously you have done their orders, right? It's a shift basis. Basically, you have commit. I'm doing like 3 hours between that. So for our platform is more freely. So basically we just let you know what time you need to pick up the orders and then what time you need to deliver by that time, right? So it's not about shift basis, it's per order basis.
Oh, interesting.
So you can do just one order for the day, or you can actually, you have capacity or you work full time, which some of the people do, they can actually earn up to $1,000 per day.
Okay.
Yeah.
So if I'm working in Wan Chai and living in Chun Wan, I could actually take a delivery back home with me.
Yes.
Just on the way home.
Yeah.
Interesting.
And quite a lot of people do that as well, because a lot of orders people demanded to deliver by the end of the day, basically let's say 10 p.m. right?
Yeah.
A lot of people actually come to different places to pick up the parcels in those commercial area after work, maybe 5 or 6, and then basically pick up some goods and then deliver on the way home.
On the way home?
Yes.
Just one, Is it economical for them to do so?
Of course, because if you're going home, let's say if you live in if you live in Chun Wan and you work with Central, right? Basically that trip basically cover all your transportation costs already. Yeah.
So may as well take a trolley with me as
Yeah, you can try. Definitely.
It's a very neat idea. I think this could actually take vans and off the road ultimately, because people then using NCR or bus or whatever.
I think it will be like two different kind of things, right? Because for the van, there's a need for them to exist.
Yeah.
Because for the van drivers, they may take up to like 30 to 50 orders at a single time. For the individual couriers, they may actually able to get maybe 2 to 5 orders maximum. So kind of like two different mode of delivery.
the cargo bike companies in London have found that actually the smaller bike, because it's smaller, means they actually have a more efficient route planning because it's not going around in one big circle. There's three bikes instead going out on smaller spokes.
But then that one may involve some consolidation for the I would say those people use it, maybe a lot of e-commerce company, and then they actually using a lot of hubs to actually consolidate. So that would be involved in another business model.
Okay. But one thing we see, I know what you say makes a lot of sense, but what I see in Central is a huge van with about three packets of laser toner in the back. You know?
Understand.
So it's not really very efficiently run. I mean, if we had better planning of it, perhaps it would be more clean.
Yeah. Then I will say that in order to solve that problems, then maybe let's say some company may open more hubs in Central so that a van can actually deliver pickups a lot of goods from one place and then deliver to those hub within the area, so that and then at the last mile then would be a lot of individuals, the couriers, to pick up and deliver within the area.
You don't tend to see a sort of GoGoX branded couriers so much on the street, so are they just in their own clothes
our idea is how to empower individuals, couriers, actually to do this kind of order to get more earning by themselves. So we are not operate in a traditional way. I think we are actually leverage the crowdsource model.
I've met a lot of people actually doing food delivery or whatever in the evenings.
Yeah.
They have got a full-time job and then they're doing this not because they need the money, but they enjoy it also.
So. Quite a lot of people. I think we actually quite amazing. I think there's a video I saw online. Actually, there's a girl. She got laid off during the COVID time, and then she kind of have some issues on dealing with the layoff, right? And then actually she joined the platform and she shared how she does the Google delivery orders, and then film, and then has a one day with her, and then she think is quite amazing, and then she's quite meaningful on doing that as well.
There is a criticism of the companies which use this sort of gig economy is that perhaps the workers don't get holiday, don't get sick pay, you know, this sort of thing. So I mean, how can you make sure that your courier network works with a heart, so to speak?
Our model is a little bit different, let's say from Foodpanda or Deliveroo. We it's not about shift basis. Basically it's by order basis, and then we don't limit you. Okay, let's say you don't online today, I don't give you jobs. It's not like that. It's basically any time of the day you open the app, you saw any orders that you think fits you, you can just take it and do the job. And then we just not limiting you to you actually have to commit here 10 hours, 12, 20 hours. It's not like that.
GoGoX is active across how many countries in Asia now?
Mainland China, Hong Kong is the first one, and then Singapore, Taiwan, South Korea, India, Vietnam.
Okay. And how does Hong Kong, Hong Kong is absolutely unique in so many ways. What are the differences?
I think the most challenging thing is Hong Kong people is so get used to the van model. Basically, you want to ship, two chairs with a sofa, you automatically think getting a van to do so, right? But on the other market, they don't have that mindset. Let's say, for example, I went to Singapore 67 years ago. I went there in 2014 to expand the market. And I was trying to introduce this kind of thinking, right? And then people just don't know what that means of getting a van. So by the time I go to IKEA, and then I saw a long line. Basically, you have to wait for an hour for a taxi. And then I say, okay, why don't you just try to call a van, right? And actually, that still fits your things. And then maybe quicker, can get in within 15 minutes.
Yeah.
And then they will look at it, think of it, but they just go back to the taxi line. Yeah. Because they don't just get it how you operate. So it's quite hard, at the very beginning for the people to understand the van hauling model.
I was the same when I first came to Hong Kong.
Yeah.
I never thought,
you can
get to move a sofa. It's I'm going to have to rent a van myself to drive it myself.
Yeah. And then a lot of, let's say in Singapore, people are thinking, I would get a logistic company to do the job. And then for other country, right? Let's say in South Korea, we are working in Seoul, and then actually more than 80% or 90% of fleet is actually motorcycle.
Okay.
So in their model is they're so get used to using motorcycle to deliver everything everywhere.
Why? How did Hong Kong get this sort of van culture in the first place, do you think?
I think it's a very traditional way to do things because in Hong Kong, I think in the 70s or 80s, the construction, I think business is actually going a lot faster. And then there's a need of getting like the people everywhere, getting their tools, transporting from A to B, and then a lot of like materials need to transport A and B as well. At the time, obviously the communication is not as efficient as we have today, right? So starting to have the different call center model coming out. Yeah, so by the time, I think before 2013, we did some research, there were all, I think more than 100 call centers in Hong Kong just doing the get you a van, like call, this kind of calling center.
Yeah, how many now do you think?
I think less than 10.
Okay, Reef, it's been an absolute pleasure talking to you. Thanks for coming along.
Thank you, James, for the invitation.
And next week, a tireless clean air campaigner, Patrick Fung, CEO of Clean Air Network, on roadside emissions, politics, and why there's never been a better opportunity for environmental campaigning. But now, it's time for our critically acclaimed drama, it's Alphard Wars. This story is purely fictional. Certain long-standing institutions, agencies, and public offices are mentioned, but the characters involved are wholly imaginary. Any similarity with any characters living or dead is purely a coincidence.
Ugh, Mongkok. Why are we meeting here, sir?
It's the only dark spot on the police surveillance network, Lee. Our parabolic microphones are useless in this din.
Perhaps we should try to blend in, sir. I brought us a tambourine.
Okay, quick. We got an audience. Pretend we're rapping.
Vita's been naughty. She's on a limb. She's been meeting this old lady. And her name's Lady Lim.
Not exactly Marshall Mathers, are you, Frank? It's okay. They're moving on. Just tell me.
The old lady's a nobody. But get this. Her known associate, number one, recycling man. He's on our list.
Shh. The audience is back.
He's an ex-nuclear physicist. We suspect he's a spy. Working for the Indian government as a spy.
Good work, Frank. You've lost them. Go on.
His cover is a recycling truck. Collects cardboard and metal from the cardboard grannies.
Okay, I'll get the flying flies on it. He's breaking about 10 laws just parked there.
What about Veda? She's on her last warning and CE's selecting the new chief tomorrow, sir.
She's going to self-destruct for sure. But you know, why don't we help her on her way a bit? You know these alphards are like catnip to her these days. Let's see if we can't just push her over the edge this time.
Oh, so you're living in a stables now. Nice idea, actually.
Well, there's good Wi-Fi. So, did you talk to number one?
Hang on a sec. Just need to end this walk.
What? Are you using my Strava?
Sure, I walked here. Want to lock that. If it's not on Strava, it doesn't count. That's what us young people say.
Don't walk on my Strava. I'm right down the league. People will think that's me going at a 10-minute pace.
I move how I like. You know this body wasn't made to always be rushing around. You know why your knee's so painful, huh? Because you're always jogging on the thing. Give it a break sometime, lah.
A break? That's it. I want my body back. Last warning.
Oh, send me back to that bony prison? I don't think so, lady. Besides, you got bigger problems. Your husband sleeping with Extinction Rebellion.
What? Nonsense. He's a university professor. He's in London gathering information for a very important book on climate change.
He's gathering a lot more than information. Forgot to turn his Zoom off last night. Oh, your daughter was traumatized.
Holy hell, what are you doing to my family?
Me? I'm the one holding Jeannie together. Showed her my recycling trolley last night. Thanks for abandoning it, by the way. But I got it back. She earned $15 all by herself.
$15? She can earn $500 just teaching expat kids how to kick a football.
Oh yeah? Does she come home with a smile on her face after doing that?
I don't know. The maid picks her... Wait, you saw her smile?
She's a fine girl. You should be very proud.
Doesn't she notice I'm not myself?
I think she's just happy to be spending time with her mum. Doesn't really know who you are, so I can be myself.
Look, it's not right. You're stealing my life. It's murder.
Wouldn't be the first time I've taken a life.
Who are you?
Veda, over here.
Frank, give me the scope. So we wait.
Anything wrong, madam?
Like what?
Seems to be a lot of those Alfreds you hate, madam.
Old news, Frank. We've got bigger problems.
But madam, they're blocking the pavement.
They can't help it, Frank. They've been coddled by the government too long. When's last time Transport Secretary walked anywhere, huh? That's how we'll fix this problem. Lobbying and peaceful protests.
But look at that white one. His license plate is F*** the poor.
It's fine. Love the sinner, hate the sin, Frank.
Or that silver one. He's actually got a camp bed extended out the pavement and sleeping on it, barefoot.
I think it's... What is that one doing? It's actually driving on the pavement to go around the traffic. All units, unleash Project Uptown Alpha Hellfire. Destroy them all.
Roger.
See what happens when you push a lady too far, Alphas. Hang on. Ceasefire. Ceasefire. Those guys in the blue, they grabbed them, but I mean that recycling guy. He's grabbed! He's in their way!